This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Different perspective this week with Mr. Purple Insider himself, Matthew Collar. It's the day after a game as opposed to previewing a game, and Matthew's with us. I'm guessing you're still in Los Angeles, California. Is that correct?
That is correct, sir. Yes.
Is the missus with you?
Yes, she is. We were attempting to make this into a mini little bye week tiny vacation, and the Vikings, of course, are not allowing me to do that.
Yes.
Because of some breaking news.
Yeah, the breaking news is about 50 minutes ago, Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter et al. Reporting that Christian Darrisaw's injury is season-ending. Surgery, this all happened late in the first half. We'll get to the play and that discussion in a moment. But your respect and your reverence for Darrisaw has been clear every week when we talk. This is a left tackle. They have very few assets. If they wanted to make a deal, I've said this a couple times, I think Jefferson is as good as any receiver in the game, but they have some options, right? They have some options in that spot, and they can make moves. I believe Darrisaw was the player they could least afford to lose for the season, and that includes Jefferson. Am I overreacting, or are you with me?
Well, I don't think I would put him quite ahead of Justin Jefferson, but it's a very close conversation. I mean, when we talk about all the off-season rankings and everything else like that, I think that Christian Darrisaw probably got overlooked in those NFL 100s and things like that. If you were drafting all offensive players in the league, you probably can't get to 12 or 15 without picking Christian Darrisaw. And he was playing at such a high level. He had zero bad games this year. I mean, think about a left tackle who faced off with Nick Bosa at times, Brian Burns, Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson, all the different great rushers that he's gone against this season, and never had a truly bad game. I don't even think he had allowed 10 pressures yet this season. He had been that dominant. There was that highlight reel play of him making up for a missed block and spinning around last week. I mean, he does things. There are just things that no one else in the world can do except for him. And, you know, David Questenberry is a journeyman type of offensive lineman who's bounced around the league. The drop off there is significant. I don't think that there are trade options. That's the thing about, you know, Jefferson, and maybe this would be your case, is if you were to lose Jefferson,
correct,
you could trade for another receiver. You can't trade for a starting left tackle. Mm. Any team that has them,
That's my point. They're not giving them to you.
That's right.
Right. So because last year, and again, Jefferson's amazing. I'm not trying to downplay him in any way. But last year, they had some big throwing games, even with J.J. out. Now, you take him a million out of a million times. But if he gets hurt, you could throw a six-round draft choice to the Panthers and maybe get Adam Thielen. So all of a sudden you have Naylor, you have Addison, you have Thielen. Whereas the Vikings with Questenberry, he's just not even close. He's just not close. Now, on the play, because I know I saw you pushing back a little bit on the decision. For me, you're on your own three. There's 43 seconds to go. I either do one of two things. I either throw the ball and see if we can get a nice chunk, or I take the knee. Now, you were saying, at least in some of the comments, you thought, well, that is fraught with some issues. I would say if it's at the one, taking a knee is an issue. I don't personally think taking a knee at the three is, myself.
I think no disrespect. This is one of the dumbest second guess conversations we've ever had around the Minnesota Vikings.
I don't think you can say, Dave Harrigan, you gentlemen, I don't think you can say with no disrespect. I'm not blaming the injury on this, but I'm to me, I don't think it's that hard, though, to take a knee at the three, right?
I want the disrespect. Let's go.
Yeah.
I just mean that I, in general, respect your opinions and thoughts.
Yeah.
But I also, I can't bring myself to a place where I would question a handoff at that point. 99 out of 100 teams hand the ball off there, especially when Kevin O'Connell explained that the Rams were playing six defensive backs, which meant that with the time left, if you get a big run from Aaron Jones, one of the best players in the league, if you get it's just standard practice on the first play where you're not sure if you're going to really take a shot scoring to hand off or throw a screen or something like that to try to feel it out. If we get a big play, well, then that's fine. And how many run plays has Christian Darrisaw had in his career? I mean, you're not putting lives at risk with a duo handoff up the middle?
No.
I mean, I don't think I've seen a single player get hurt on this handoff the whole year for the Vikings, and a guy just falls on his knee. I don't know. To me, it was basically lashing out because everyone's mad. And they should be. And they should be crushed. They should be crushed. But also, when it comes to second-guessing, we have to have some sort of logic with this. If every team does this exact same thing, And I do think it's a little hard to kneel down when you're at the 3-yard line. Yes, you could do it if you were winning the Super Bowl in the last seconds, probably. But I mean, it's a little tight back there. I just thought, what are we doing here? Yeah. I think we could just say,
Let's hang up on caller. I mean,
no, I want more of this. Where else is Chad wrong?
No. He's right. He's 100% right. Okay, now let's get to the defense. Blake Cashman is a fine player. Right, but he's not the sole reason why this defense has dropped off. And let's add the caveat: the Detroit Lions, at this point, to me, have the best offense in football. So comparing the Lions, the Rams is not the same. And then let's also add this: the Rams all of a sudden added their two best wide receivers, who are both very good players. But that defense, as you know better than I, was stifling, was disruptive, and the pass rush. You know, whether Alec Lewis has a stat suggesting that the pressure rate was 12%. Seifert and ESPN have a rate that the pressure rate was at 9%, the lowest since 2020. What happened last night with that defense, and how ominous is this for the next few weeks? Or do we just have to tip our cap a little bit to Stafford is still Stafford, and we know how good the Lions are?
I think it's very much ominous. Now the thing with Blake Cashman is what can't be downplayed is that he is the play caller out there, but he's not just the play caller. He's really an extension of Brian Flores. This is a guy who's been around the league a long time. He's one of the smartest players you'll ever run into. He's also giant and fast, and he covers a lot of ground in coverage, and he's a great tackler. And I think Cashman's become a top 10 linebacker, and that's what the PFF data would back up over the last 2 years. But I think it's even more than that. And when you ask Ivan Pace to do that, it felt very static. It felt like there wasn't bodies moving around all the time, like there weren't late changes and adjustments. But you also have to give Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford a ton of credit for this too, because what McVay figured was, if I get the ball on the outside quickly to Puka Nacua, to Cooper Kupp, and make those guys tackle on the outside, they got rid of the ball most of the time really fast. I think the Matthew Stafford snap-to-release average was 2.5 seconds, but there were some where they were holding the ball for 5 or 6 seconds and still weren't getting any type of pressure from the blitzes. The other thing is, too, that the Lions and the Rams figured out, if we put extra guys in there, tight ends blocking, then make it a 6-on-5 versus the blitzers. Nobody's free running at the quarterback, and we're going to be able to take these guys mostly out. The only guy who scares you as a pass rusher is Jonathan Grenard, who really does it just on his own. And he had a fine game last night, but even a 5-pressure night from one guy isn't going to do it if nobody else is there. So I think that the defense has been figured out by the Lions, by the Rams. They've got some of the answers. I also think when you're facing Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford, that's one guy who's been to a Super Bowl. That's another guy who's won a Super Bowl. The upcoming quarterbacks are Anthony Richardson, Trevor Lawrence, Mason Rudolph. So I think that there is a very reasonable, hey, the next time down the road when you play the Packers, or I would even throw the Falcons into this, they have a McVay guy calling their offense. When you play them, how's it going to work out? But over the next coming weeks, they have time to solve this because they're not facing quarterbacks of this caliber.
I'm not saying at this point I expected him to have 15 sacks and shades of Lawrence Taylor's first year, but Dallas Turner was a highly touted player, and he was a very accomplished player at Alabama, and I liked that they went hard for him. And they've got other guys, you know, Van Ginkle and Grenard. But, man, he's barely out there. And he has been no factor at all this season. I don't think you expected that at this point, did you?
No, I didn't. But, you know, it's funny how things can change in just a couple days, because I totally bought the explanation from Kevin O'Connell this week where he said, look, we've got Grenard and Van Ginkle. Those guys are great at their jobs. And it's really hard to throw him out there into other random positions, because we ask so much of our linebackers. You can't just say, hey, buddy, go play linebacker, even though you're really a career edge rusher and that's what we drafted you for. But last night, the Patrick Jones thing had its day, but he's back to being Patrick Jones.
Correct.
He played 46 snaps and got zero pressures, and they left Dallas Turner on the sidelines. I just don't understand that, because if there's one thing I think Dallas Turner could do right now, even if he's not fully ready for this very complex defense, is just rush the passer.
Just speed, and power, rush.
Exactly. Like, I don't understand why he's not out there in third down packages or something like that, as opposed to Patrick Jones. And I get it. Jones had 5 sacks in the first couple of weeks, so you're like, okay, well, that's a veteran developed player that we can ask a lot of, who's hot right now. He's getting a lot of sacks. But that ran out quickly because he is who he is. I do wonder if that will be a bit of a wake-up call. Like, we need to get Dallas Turner on the field more often, because I think that he has the explosiveness and the quickness to cause problems for quarterbacks, to cause problems for offensive tackles. And I just think that they had been playing Jones and Jahad Ward because those guys did well early in the season. But is it cause for concern? I'm only at, like, the yellow on one of those meters. I wouldn't get into the orange, wouldn't get into the red just yet. But I guess this would be maybe the first time where I would have to question Brian Flores. I mean, he's been so good, and I wouldn't have questioned him at all about not playing someone like Lewis Cine. His evaluation ability is amazing. His schemes are amazing. But, dude, how is Patrick Jones playing 46 snaps and Dallas Turner 4? Like, that just doesn't make a lot of sense to me, and I'm curious to see if it changes.
You're out there with Sloan. Stories are breaking, so I'm going to keep you this one long segment and let you go. But I want to get to this. True Media with talking about the Vikings offense. And, you know, how much is scripted the first 15 plays? We both know you do this now. I used to do it all the time. You talk to coaches and coordinators, say, sure, it's scripted, but then we get a 3rd and 20 or we get a 3rd and 1. We got to adjust. So it's not hard and fast, but it's out there. Vikings rank first 15 plays, number 1 yards per play, number 1 in points, number 1 in passing yards. 15 plus, they're 23rd, 21st, and 26th. Are we overreacting that, or is it fair to ask O'Connell about adjustments as the game has moved along? I could also make the argument that in some of these games they've built up such a big lead that may have played a part in the data, but when you hear that data, as someone who follows this team extraordinarily close, what jumps out at you?
Yeah, I mean, the what you said jumped right into my mind, which is if you're ahead by 3 scores, and then you're obviously not going to be as efficient later in games.
Yep.
At the same time, them not being efficient later in games let teams back in.
Yeah.
I remember in 2022 we had a lot of this conversation about the third quarters. Remember, they would be ahead, and then the offense would go stagnant in the third quarter, and then they would have to come back and win it at the very end. There might be something to that. I think that a lot of the, quote, procedural penalties, which I don't think I've ever had to say that before, have been a problem, like lining up correctly, the snap counts correctly, timeouts that I can't believe they keep using. I mean, yesterday you get a big play to Aaron Jones, and then somehow you got to use a timeout. Maybe could have used that later in the game. It's just I do think that there are some issues there with the play calling, and it's not even necessarily does he know how to or even what to call, but getting the calls in, having everyone understand them, and then execute them, it has not gone correctly so far this year. That's something that in this, quote, mini bye, they really have to look closely at. But I have felt that there is a little bit at times a lack of feel for the game. And I would even throw this out there. It's not exactly play calling, but sort of feel for the game. Aaron Jones can't play 46 snaps the 4 days after he just played 50 or whatever against the Detroit Lions. Like, there has to be a feel for that, too. And I don't care if you don't like the other running backs. That just can't happen. And then, while he only averaged 3 yards a carry, is it because he's dead? I mean, it was just, I don't know. There was, I think there's a lot of things to start picking apart now. At the end of the day, they're a 5-2 team with a quarterback who is vastly outplaying expectations, and now kind of on a week-to-week basis. I think he has one game where he doesn't have a 100 quarterback rating, so it's pretty hard to be like, oh, yeah, that O'Connell, what's he doing?
Yeah, right.
Right. So I think it's more of one of those situations where it feels like, for Dumb and Dumber fans, it feels like our pets' heads are falling off right now. but I think that we'll feel better about this team after they get back to playing teams that aren't as good.
Enjoy L.A.
Thanks so much, Chad. Appreciate it.
Mr. Purple Insider. He's vacationing, but he's also working. Purple Insider, must follow. It's 23 past 2 on CCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Am I wrong in about 10? Have we identified the music theme yet today? Of course we have. It's New York, L.A., it's the World Series.
There you go.
I missed this. I wish I would have spotted this. Albert Breer, covering the NFL for a long time. He points out that the Rams sent proposals to the competition committee each of the last 3 years to do what? To make penalties on face masks to QBs and blows to the head and roughing the passer reviewable. And it was shot down 3 times.
What is irony?
What worked out? Okay, we mentioned this yesterday. L.A. Times, decade after decade after decade after decade, endorsing a variety of candidates, including presidential candidates. The editorial board had decided on the former senator from their state, the vice president, Kamala Harris.
Didn't see that coming. But yeah.
I know, it's a stunner that California at least in particular L.A. The owner of the paper shot it down. A lot of people think he's worried about backlash from Trump, or some suggest that he has some relationship. Some are saying he's good friends. Some are saying friends. Some are saying acquaintances with Elon Musk. Okay, numerous people quit the L.A. Times editorial board,
including the editor of the editorial
board. And a number of people right below him. Now, in the last hour and a half, word has come out that the Washington Post was prepared to come out and endorse Kamala Harris also, and Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon, said no. So guess what's happened? Multiple editors from the Washington Post, top guys, are stepping down again. We talked yesterday. Who knows who influences people? But this should be troubling, ladies and gentlemen, no matter if you're a Trump or Harris supporter, that if you believe in the separation, you believe, let's see, newsroom here, editorial board here, ownership here. And here are two of the biggest papers in this country who have decided they're just going to do what the paper's done for decades. This wasn't a rarity. This wasn't a one-off. This is what they do every presidential election. They're going to endorse. And they're both endorsing Kamala Harris. And the owner stepped in and stopped him. You talk about journalism in jeopardy. That's a huge story. And by the way, if the folks who are supporting Trump could say, good, how would you feel if it was a paper where the editorial board was supporting Donald Trump, and then the owner, you know, say, liberal owners,
yeah,
liberal media,
yep.
That's very concerning.
It is. And
it should bug a lot of people.
If people already don't have any faith in the media to begin with.
That's a great point.
Let's just keep piling on.
You want to believe that there is separation, that reporters do this, and the editorial board does this, and typical reporters do this, talk show hosts do this, and owners step away. Well, what we're seeing, L.A. Times, Washington Post, if you believe no, owners dictate everything. Yeah. And it sounds like this one was two owners who don't want to risk the wrath of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
That's it. That's why they did. Two last items. Goldfish crackers. What do you think overall, a goldfish cracker on the snack scale? Where is it for Dave Harrigan?
Overrated.
It is. I'm with you 100%.
Not close to a Cheez-It.
And also, oh, get out of here. By the way, I had two or three friends pushing back at my view of the grapefruit, too. I stand by it.
No, the grapefruit is top-notch fruit.
It's gross. It's absolutely gross and should be eliminated. Goldfish decided to have some fun and named their traditional goldfish Chilean sea bass crackers. The snack was sold out in the first batch.
The Chilean sea bass, which ironically looks exactly like a goldfish in cracker form.
It's the same damn thing.
Yes, it is.
What a bunch of saps. Like, we really think it was a Chilean sea bass. By the way, the Chilean sea bass, I don't know if it lives up to the hype. I think there's a lot of people like would walk across fire for the Chilean sea bass. I think it's always decent. Doesn't live up to it.
Are you against sea bass or chili?
I'm still for the miners. You know, the miners were stuck down there in Chile. I'm not over it yet.
But, well, I mean, there's a sucker born every day, Chad.
My God.
And a lot of them were born right here because, well, I mean, they changed the name on the bag, so I need 10 of them.
To Chilean sea bass. I mean, pumpkin spice. You know, we're all sick of that. Various other things. But it's really going to be a Chilean sea bass cracker. Please, for the love of God, when I sell my house, it's got the ocean, it's got the lakes, it's got a desert, it's got a safari, it's all in the backyard, trust me. New York City may give pet owners paid time off to care for a sick animal. The wording says an animal kept primarily for companionship in compliance with applicable laws would be covered. So this is more than just a service animal.
Yep.
Because I get that, right? A service animal, I get it. But your regular pet is under the weather. required to get time off. Unlike the Adam and Jordana show, this is and Jason. I mean, we have two shows who openly hate dogs.
Yes, we're bookended
on this
by
station.
Them.
Dog hater Adam forever. Jordana, and they're kind of frauds because they have pets now, but they've admitted they won't spend any money on them to take care of them.
They don't actually care for the pets. They just happen to live there.
Me, I'm paying for ligaments every other day with Charlie to keep him alive.
You need a ligament? I'll get you a ligament.
I got a ligament. And Jason is just open in his hatred of dogs.
Yeah, he doesn't just hate his own dogs, which he doesn't have. He hates your dogs.
I got it if Charlie was going through one of his ACL surgeries. If the dog has the sniffles, how far are we going with this law? Well, I mean, this should be a full segment for DeRussia.
It should. Probably an hour. You'll get good guests on it. How far are we going, A, in the level of sickness to the pet?
Yeah.
And B, how far are we going into, okay, dog, cat, gerbil?
Yeah.
Fish?
Yeah. I'll tell you what. Wait till Susie finds out about this. She's going to move to New York City and act like her dog is sick constantly. Am I wrong? Next. Let's go.
You know, Chad, the committee was annoyed earlier this week. Committee had some things that the NBA needs to work on. One in particular.
Mm.
The NBA, your favorite association in the country, needs to fix the season opening schedule. Because I say they did Wolves fans dirty.
Whoa.
And I'm talking particularly about the youth, the young Wolves fans, and Adam Carter, who all need to go to bed well before 9 o'clock.
Yes.
When that game started.
Yes.
You said it yourself earlier in the week. This is, if not the most, maybe the second most anticipated Wolves season in the history of the franchise.
It's this in 04-05.
Yes.
You know, it's...
Exactly. Pick one. It doesn't matter.
Let's hope it doesn't work out the same way.
No, there is that.
I'd take the salary, though, that I was receiving from 04-05.
I've heard you've doubled it here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's just, you know, Jeff Bezos and Warren Buffett just leave hundreds of millions of dollars laying around here at Odyssey. Oh, you know that.
Wait a minute. Bezos said I can't talk about the NBA. Moving on. Anyway, so we had a 9 o'clock tip in L.A.
Yep.
For all those young Wolves fans who were, you know, you're always trying to grow the game, right? And your biggest game since the season end of last year, your season opener, everybody's excited to see Ant, see Julius Randle, see Dante DiVincenzo. How's it all going to work together? How's it going to happen?
It didn't that night.
And, yeah, well, there is. Maybe the NBA did fans a favor.
But yeah, sorry.
Beyond that. New rule. Season openers in the NBA, no team traveling goes more than one time zone away.
Is this high school?
No, it's very simple.
They're adults.
I'm looking for, again, you're worried about the adults. I'm worried about the kids and Adam Carter. That way, you know what? There's plenty of teams. If you want to have a game in L.A., you can.
You're wrong.
You can play the Clippers. You can play Golden State. You can play the Nuggets. You can play the Suns. All of them. Don't make Wolves fans, especially the youth and Adam, stay up till 9 o'clock just for the opening tap. The NBA did us dirty, Chad.
Okay. Am I wrong?
The West Coast teams. Well, they better find all those mountain standard teams, right? I mean, they better play them.
Or they can host games.
Yeah. No.
Or play the other West Coast teams, Chad. There's plenty.
This is how it works with sports.
Doesn't have to work that way.
I get
Don't give me the, this is the way it's always been.
I get
been.
It
That's
in the
lazy.
Playoffs. It can be a problem. But in the regular season, when you have East Coast and West Coast, you have either starts that are way too early, way too late. It's just a part of the process.
Doesn't need to be a part of the process, Chad. That's the point.
So you're just for the opener, you think you have
to
change
them. That's it. For the season opener, no game starts past 8 p.m., whatever time zone.
Are you running for office? I mean, this is such a pander, but then it really doesn't work. But it's an excellent – are you a congressman, state senator, a dog catcher, city council? What are you running for right now?
What do you think I'd be best at? I would think I could show up Sunday here, 9 to 10, with Blois, and I could probably run circles around Amy and Royce.
I'd vote for you over the two options I have right now for president.
Wow, thank you very much.
I was damning you with faint praise, okay?
Well, let's get into
it. And by the way, you don't have just two choices. That's the important part.
Well, let's talk about that, then.
Oh, let's go.
The committee has some thoughts.
Okay.
voting for a third party or any other person other than the major candidates here in 2024.
I think I'm going to get ripped here.
Is a cop-out.
Yep.
It's not only a cop-out.
You're wrong again.
It's a little bit cowardly.
Oof. Wow.
There's exactly zero people in the country that see no difference between Trump and Harris. Obviously, you can be pro-Trump, you can be pro-Harris, whatever. They're not the same person. They're not even close to it. And I've said before, I'll say it again, the committee believes in me. This is not the time to throw your vote towards a third party in what is a 0% chance of winning. If you're not voting for one or voting against the other, because clearly if you don't love one, you at least dislike the other. It's a cop-out, and I think it is, as I said, as the committee said. It's a little bit cowardly.
Am I wrong?
Okay. When will it ever happen then if people don't start voting for other individuals? Because the two parties, they're monopolies. And so unless another party emerges, and you know me, I'd prefer two or three other parties emerge, or wait a second, this person ran for the office. Look, this person ended up getting like 20 million votes or 10 million votes or 5 million votes. Maybe we have to look at the process. The parties are going to suppress this. The parties are going to get, what is it, about $16 billion this year? So unless the voters rise up and do this, when is it ever going to happen? Because right now, I don't like most of the top-of-the-ticket options I have been provided the last 3 races.
If you had a third-party candidate, a la Ross Perot, who was actually a factor, didn't come close to winning, but was a factor in the election all those years ago, I think you can make a justification for voting for a third party.
So absolutely. I have to wait for other people to join me.
I think you need to spend the time, you and everyone else who would like a third party, who is the vast majority of America, in between the elections.
So we should start voting for other people. If people stood up, because if we, I mean, we'd have to look at a poll, but if said you'd like to vote for somebody other than Trump and Harris, what do you think that number is right now in the country? 30%, 40%, 50%, something like that?
That's fair.
So why don't all of us do that?
Because you can't, I mean, are you going to convince all 30 to 40 million people right now? Just make a call?
I think
that's what I'm saying.
I think it's 30 to 40%.
You need to, yeah, that's, sorry, yeah. Not million percent.
That's a lot.
I believe that movement needs to happen between elections. Right now, you have no other candidate other than Harris or Trump that's even close to going to get half of a percent.
I get it. There are more people agree with you than me.
That's because the committee's right.
The committee's right. But it's never going to change unless we, the voters, step forward.
But now is not the time.
You're pro monopolies. I'm trying to bring down.
No, I am pro taking down the monopoly in those 4 years that you have.
Nobody talks about it then.
Throwing your vote at, you know, Christie, Haley, Dean Phillips, whoever it is that's not going to register even a blip on the screen this
year. So I should vote for someone, and I haven't decided. Obviously, no chance in hell I vote for Trump. I honestly have not decided on Harris. But again, the further the campaign goes along, the more disappointed I am. The town hall the other day was awful, right? So the bar for me has to be, well, anybody but Trump. I just don't think for the presidency of the United States, the bar should be anybody from this raging narcissist. I think the bar should be higher. Pause. Okay, let's just so we can give you a couple more opportunities. And, hey, don't forget the WCCO radio debate. Blois, the only senatorial debate that's going to take place with Amy Klobuchar and Royce White here in the studio. We got the signage up here. I mean, look, if you look that way, it looks okay. One of the signs is a lot better than the other sign, though, right? It's a fresher one. This is a brighter blue. This is kind of worn-out blue over there.
Sign's been around a little while.
Yeah, it is.
It's seen some things.
You know, that looks like 59-year-old me. This looks like 40-year-old you.
We're going to keep the happy birthday sign up behind you?
Of course we will. All right, let's include Jason in the mix with Am I Wrong? What is next, Dave
Harrigan? You were right last segment, though.
Of course I was.
Yep.
Which one in particular? The committee was right, by the way.
Committee was right on the you got to pick.
Sheep followers.
You got to pick.
Yeah. Sure. Cowardly.
Big Jim Jones followers here.
Just because we can make a decision, you walk into the voting booth, I don't know what to do, which bubble to fill out.
was Jerry Lewis? Did
ladies!
Clemson University. You're familiar with Clemson University?
Sure.
Outstanding school from everything I maybe have been told. They charge a little under $16,000 for in-state tuition, not the room and board, just tuition.
Okay.
If you're out of state, it's up near $40,000.
Yeah,
they are
That's
now
a lot.
Tacking on an extra $150 per student starting next year as a varsity sports fee, as a way to try to raise $8 to $9 million for the varsity sports program.
For NIL type money, or
NIL money, or just to fund the volleyball team or the wrestling team or whatever, you know, non-revenue sports that they have. This is a load of garbage. That's all I have to say.
Am I wrong?
It sounds like it for sure. What I guess I don't know, when I was paying for Purdue and the other schools with the boys going, was there something already in there where the average student was doing this already? And so it still was a load of garbage. Because in Clemson, as successful as they are with a football stadium that houses, what, 90-some thousand?
It's not small.
And the other sports, it seems like they would have a lot of revenue coming their way. It does seem like the typical college student, Jason, who's going to Clemson, who's saying you have to pay more money to help Dabo recruit some players, seems BS. I just, not to be redundant, but have we been doing this and we didn't realize it for a long time?
Well, I think the fee basically puts it in a dedicated bucket, right? So the university can't, put it into some building or put it into, we want to hire this fancy hotshot professor. We're going to take this money. So I get it. I will say it, just like all of us are sort of over all the fees, like universities.
And the college costs.
Now, there must be some gamification of the way that, like, you know, scholarships or grant money or something. There must be some incentive for the school to create a fee instead of just, you know, throw it in tuition. What's the difference?
I kind of like the gamification.
Yeah. Mm. Can you say that again?
Gamification.
Mm.
Yeah.
Very nice.
I don't know that's really a word, but I'm going to work that in.
No, it sounds very good to me.
Yeah.
Last one quickly. This week in the news, not only do we have the people buying out Big Cracker for the Chilean sea bass goldfish rebrand, people in Texas will now pay over $1,300 to have someone come to their house and arrange pumpkins on their front porch. And Sotheby's auction house predicting that a painting done by a robot, which is subjectively absolutely terrible looking painting, could fetch around $100,000 at auction, proving the point once again that all corporations, all business owners, all auction houses in America know Americans are the worst with their money of anyone in the world.
Okay, I have admitted before, I think you have also. Do we get it? Am I wrong, by the way?
Am I wrong?
Jumped on it.
That I have paid. I was the Harrigan there. That I've paid before for the lights. Haven't you?
I have.
Okay.
But it's hard to pull the trigger. Every year I'm like, do I want to do it? I don't know. Yeah.
So I've done it four or five times for one.
Because it's like $1,000.
Yeah.
At least.
So is it any different if you're paying for the Halloween decor? Yeah.
Yes, because Halloween is stupid.
Exactly.
And it's like 1 week, like stupid. Yeah. Come on.
I might do nothing this year.
I would love a great CCO land company to like come in with some sort of endorsement.
There we go.
Right? Let's go ProTurf. You know, are you guys doing Christmas lights? Rainbow? Let's
go. That's what Jason calls his gamification.
That's right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.